Something that has really been on my heart, and I hope that I can relay it the way that I want to. If you know me, I could probably just preach them paint about, just about off the walls right there, and if I wanted to. But I really want to share something with you from my heart today, and I want to open up the Word of God, and I want to show you something that I feel like is very important to us as people of God and the body of Christ right now. And if there's ever been a time we need Christians to realize who they are, it's right now. And one of the things that I think that we have to be careful of, especially in this generation, is this generation is very good at marking people and labeling people and calling people things that they really aren't. I'm reminded of a story in Gideon. You look at Gideon, and everything the world told him that he was not what down in the. I'm not going to preach on Gideon. This is just my opening statement. But here Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press. Now, if you do any study, you'll find out that you don't thresh wheat in a wine press down low. You actually thresh it up high. Well, he was down there hiding because he is scared to death he's going to get his head chopped off. And out of nowhere, God opens up the heavens and says, "Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." Now, this guy's a scaredy cat right there at this point, right? He's hiding down there, not really doing anything he's called to do. And God sees something in him that he can't see in himself. And God calls him by that, "Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." There's a lot of times we don't see things in ourselves, and I believe that's because Satan is really good at manipulating and lying. I'm amazed, and I'm going to say this, and don't get offended early. There'll be multiple opportunities. But I am amazed at how many... I'm just going to let that sink in. I'm amazed at the amount of us in this room, even me included. Come on, how many can honestly say we believed a lie of the devil before? And I'm amazed right now, as much Bible teaching as we have, you can go online and watch anybody. You can see Ron Carpenter from TD Jakes to Joe Campbell to line them all up. You can get a hold of anybody's ministry teaching on the earth. Bible schools, training seminars, conferences, and Christians still believe the lies of the enemy. And I want to talk to you guys. If I had a title this morning, it would be Satanic Lies You Cannot Believe. Satanic Lies You Must Not Believe. And I want to share with you about, I'm going to actually, and if you have time to go on your own and read this chapter, I encourage you. There's a really awesome story in Isaiah chapter 36. And I want to kind of set the stage here that I'm going to give you about 5 or 6 tools that I think you can really do to really define how to just completely abolish every lie Satan tells you. But I want to just read about 4 verses, and then I'm going to break down and kind of walk through this chapter a little bit. And I'm going to read just 4 or 5 verses here and kind of lay the foundation. Isaiah 36 in verse number 1 says, "Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came against the fortified cities of Judah and seized them." Notice the first thing Satan attacks is praise. Well, it's going to be a long morning. Notice that the very first, you see this setting here, the city is Judah. That's the representation of the tribe of praisers. You read in other passages, it says they sent Judah out first, the praisers first. Notice that the first thing the enemy does is attack the people of God who can carry the anointing of praise. And King Assyria sent, Rabshakeim, the laddish from Jerusalem, Hezekiah, with a large army. He stood by the conduct of the upper Pikeli, who was over the household of Sheba, the scribe of Joan, and Asaph, the recorder, came out to him. Then Rabshakeim said unto them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king of Syria, what is the confidence you have? I say your counsel and strength are the war of only empty words. Now whom do you rely on that you have beheld against me?" Now here you set the stage, right? you've got this crazy king, and Sennacherib decides he's going to just destroy Hezekiah's land in Judah. He's going to get him and wipe him off the map. And he sends an ambassador, if you will. He sends one of the greatest strongholds, I guess basically his assistant. And so all of a sudden he sends someone there. And I begin to read this story, and I really feel like I want you to hear this, and I want you to write this down. The only authority Satan has in your life is the lies he tells you. The only authority that Satan really has in your life is the lies that he begins to, and I really believe that. I think we give the devil too much credit in the 21st century. And I'm not saying that the devil isn't real. I'm not saying that he's not powerful. I'm not saying that he doesn't have tactics. But really, what can he do to you? He can do nothing except twist and manipulate and lie to you and make you believe something that is not true. Listen, one of the things I love this 21st century, I love the music and I love the abilities that we have begun. Now listen, again, this is my opinion. I'm not doctrinally stating this. But one of the things that I'm really struggling with right now, especially in this generation, is I think that we're right in the middle of the Saul generation and really not the David generation yet. If you understand that Saul, he was consumed with himself. He loved himself. And the first thing that he did when he got in trouble was, bring me a minstrel. Notice he didn't go right to the word. He went to someone that had a gift. Let me explain to you. I thank God for music, but we need a generation of people that know the word, not God and not emotions. Emotions will take you about as far as that wall back there. But how many know the devil can't beat you if you've got the word? When you speak the word, that's how Jesus defeated him when he took him into the wilderness. He said, it is written. Come on, that bread shall not live by man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Your greatest weapon is not to believe the lies of hell, but to believe the word of God. Greatest weapon. That's your greatest adversary is the word of God. Why? Because the word is creative. The word is powerful. The word is anointed all by itself. I believe the Bible says in the book of Psalms, he said, I even honor my word even above my own name. Now you and I both know there's no name greater than the name of Jesus. But how many know he said that I know something that there's more powerful than that. That's my word, because my word is creative power. It's got power beyond all limitations. It defies the laws of gravity. It defies the laws of the enemy. It defies the laws of human nature. Why? Because it's creative. How many know when you speak the word, you're creating? Are y'all here this morning? Check your pulse. Make sure you're alive. I don't want to give you CPR. Now listen to me. This is the lies that he tells you. And so I want to go through this a little bit, and I want to show you something. Here's number one. I want you to write this down. Here's the first lie Satan will try to tell you. You cannot trust the power of your confession. You cannot trust the power of your confession. Watch what it says here in verse number 5. He said, thou sayest thou, but thou art but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom doest thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Notice the first thing he says here. No matter what you say, it doesn't matter, because your confession is powerless. How many know that's a lie from the enemy? How many know when you speak the word of God and you confess the word of God, he don't stand a chance. I love what chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, come on, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Aren't you glad it's what you say about you and not what your enemies say about you? Huh? Aren't you glad? Word under the anointing and the authority of Jesus Christ. And when does that anointing come? The moment you get saved. The moment you get saved, authority enters in your life. And no devil, no demon, no distraction, no imp, no power, no weapon of human flesh, no weapon of mass destruction can ever defeat the word of God. And when you speak the word of God, come on, you ought to just tell Satan to go back to hell where he came from. You ought to look down there and say, listen, I figured it out. You can only lie about my confession. But when I speak the word of God, heavens opens up. Angels fight for me on my side. There's a power and anointing that's coming back to me, not because of who I am, but because of the word of God that's in my mouth. I love what Proverbs said. He said, the mouth of the wicked, they lie in wait for blood. He said, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Oh man, see, we got some Lutherans on this side. I'll try the Catholics over here. Can I tell you that the only thing that Satan is more afraid of than anything else is a Christian with the Word of God in their mouths. Come on, the mouth of the upright shall. You tell the destruction is strong enough through the Word of God. You've got confession, you've got power, you've got anointing. Don't re-speak the lies, speak the truth. And the enemy's got to flee, because the truth is greater than any lie the devil will ever tell you. Huh? Come on, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Come on, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. My seed will be blessed. Everything my hand touches, God will prosper. He'll silence the voice of the enemy just like he silenced the lions in the den of lions. Come on, how many know everything you speak is the Word of God? You don't have power because of your mind. You've got power because of the Word of God is spoken into your life. The devil will lie to you and tell you that no matter what you do, your confession will never change anything. I love what Job 22 and verse number 28. Can you guys put that up there for me? Job 22 and verse number 28. I want to read this verse. Job 22 and verse 28. I love what it says here. I love what it says here. We're going to look at it again real fast. Job 22 and verse number 28. I love what it says here. Listen to what his words say. You will also, and the light will shine on your ways. How many know when you speak something out of your mouth, come on, the devil can't stop it. Your enemies can't stop it. Come on, fear can't stop it. Doubt can't stop it. Worry can't stop it. Come on, why? Because the moment you decree it by faith, come on, God begins to work. What is faith? Calling those things that are not as though they were. Come on, your kids can be running on a road to hell right now on crack cocaine. But when you say you shall be saved by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, how many know no devil can stop it? No lies can stop it. It's the moment you confess with the Word of God, something begins to change. You know why most of us don't like this message in this room? Because now it makes us responsible. You're responsible for your confession. No matter how good God is to you, He will never go past the faith of your confession. Oh, come on now. Think about it. God is powerless when it comes to your mouth. Awesome all by himself. But how many know 1,000 babies got aborted today and God had nothing to do with it? How many know somebody might get in a car today drunk as a skunk, drive down the road and kill somebody? How many know God had nothing to do with that? And how many know God can do nothing except anything through the power of your confession? If you're saying that you're a low, defeated snail, you understand that the picture that you create, come on, that the picture that you create in your mind is actually greater than anything in the world. Why? Because the moment you speak the picture that you painted in your mind, it becomes a reality. So if you're always saying that you're a low, dog, dirty snail, God's not going to ever answer you. God's not going to move for me. Why am I going through this? Guess what? Be prepared for a roadblock of mistakes. But how many know my God will come through for me? He is greater than any adversary in my life. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. And it doesn't even matter if you feel it. Can you just get it out of your mouth so God can create it? Oh, come on, how many know your words got to be greater than your feelings? His words got to be greater than your feelings. All right, here's the second thing. I love this passage. Read this on you. You can't trust the Lord. Look what it says in Isaiah 36, verse number 7. But if thou say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he who the high places, whose altar Hezekiah has taken away? Here he is lying to him. Here he's lying to the people of God. Isn't this the king that has removed all the altars from God? That's not what happened at all. They're under crazy divine attack. And what's happening here? All of a sudden this enemy shows up and says, he's the guy that's causing God's altars to be removed. He's the guy that's allowing God to take everything away. And that's not true at all. How many know that that's what the devil will try to tell you? Something that isn't true. This is the guy right here you cannot trust. This is the God you cannot trust. The devil will tell you that he'll lie to you. He's a killer. He's a murderer. He's the one that's causing all this pain. Let me tell you, there's a real devil that doesn't like you because you took his place the moment you got saved. You are now the praiser. You are now the worshiper. He's just jealous because you have his job and he can't praise God anymore. You ought to give God a 5-second praise. Clap your hands upset. That's why you're upset. He's not mad at you because you're you. He's mad at you because you took his place. So now he's going to tell you all the things that he wants you to. You can't trust God. He'll let you down every time. There's no reason to trust him. See, you and you, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't even be in this mess. Just deny him right now. I mean, we see a perfect picture of that with Job, don't we? Here he is praising God, honoring God. Hell attacks him. The Bible says hell attacks him and did everything and it took his life. And what was the first person he used to create a lie that made him doubt everything? Why don't you just curse God and die? It's always a woman. It's a joke, people. Relax. It's a joke. It's a lie. It's a lie. You can't trust God. That's what he likes to do. You can't trust him. You wouldn't be in this mess if it wasn't for God. I thought you, come on, how many have ever been in this? Look at that. Think what that Christian behavior's got you. Look what God's done. Where's your God now? Where's he at right now? I mean, the only thing that the devil ever did to Adam and Eve was lie to them. He didn't make them eat the fruit. He got them to eat the fruit because he told a lie and they believed a lie. You can trust our God. Our God is faithful. Our God is just. Our God is good. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? He's reliable. I can trust him. No matter what the devil says, he's a good God. He's faithful. Has God been good to anybody in this room? Then tell the devil, God has been good to me. God has been good to my family. Come on, we've had some valleys, but we're back on the mountain. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. We might have been through some crazy storms, but my God is good. My God is faithful, and he will come through. He will come through. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but my faith is assured. He will come through. Oh man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, no devil in hell is going to whip us. We're going to get up from this. We're going to come out of the ashes. Come on, my God's never let me go down, and he never will. Come on, no lie of the enemy's in horses. Some may trust in chariots, but we will trust in the Lord our God. You ought to give him a praise and let the devil know, I still trust him. I still trust him. No matter what's coming, I still trust him. I still trust him. I still trust him. I still trust him. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what my enemies say. It doesn't matter what my best friends that I thought were my friends say. It matters what God says. And he will come through. He will show up. He will do it. Come on, I love what Hezekiah, man. You read the story of Hezekiah, it's great. You know what he says? God's getting ready to kill him, right? God's getting ready to take him out. And all of a sudden, a prophet shows up at the door, and he gets a bad prophetic word. He's like, man, he said, God is getting ready to take you out, buddy. You better get your house in order, because things are fixing to change. What's he do? He goes right to God, and he says, listen up, God. Listen up hard. He said, the dead can't praise you, but the living can. The living can praise you. And what happens? Come on, somebody. God said, because you know the value of the anointing of God on your life, I'm going to add 15 years. Because you trusted me, trust him. Even in the midst of bad news, what's he say? He said, listen, God, I know that you want to kill me. But he said, if you kill me, I'm not going to be able to praise your name anymore. And I tell you, you can trust a God like that that'll give you life in the midst of death. Oh. Man, that'll make a Baptist shout. Here's the next thing the devil will tell you. You ready for this? This right now is, I believe, is really, to every Christian, you're weak and insignificant. That's one of the biggest lies the devil ever tell you. You're weak and you're insignificant. Let's read this verse 38 here. Now, therefore, give pledges, I pray thee, to the master, the king of Assyria. And I will give you I will give thee 2,000 horses. It will be able on thy part to set riders upon them. Now, watch verse 9. How then wilt thou turn away thy face to the captain, the least of the master's servants? Here's he telling them, you're weak. You're insignificant. Isn't that what the devil tells us? You're weak. You're insignificant. Your prayers aren't working. Huh? You wouldn't be in this mess if you were stronger. Come on, how many have heard that before? Boy, if you were a strong Christian like Brother Joe, you wouldn't be in this mess. If you were a strong Christian like Brother Sean Dickerson, you wouldn't be in this mess. Man, if you were like Sister Joyce or if you were like so-and-so, come on, the comparison trap. If you were so-and-so, weak and insignificant, it's just you. That's why you're here. It's because of you, not everybody else. You're the reason. You're the weak link in the chain. Come on, how many know the devil's a liar?
Huh? How many know God listens to your prayers? How many know God shows up in the midst of your worst battles? How many know God, you can rely on Him because He has created you before you were in your mother's womb? He knows every hair on your head. He knows that many of you have the gift of prophecy in this room. Many of you have the gift of healing in this room. Many of you know how to worship God like nobody else. Many of you can speak to your children and change their path. Why? Because nobody can do what you do. You are important to the body of Christ. You are anointed and called by God. Your devil's going to tell you you're not significant. You belong here. You're a part of the body of Christ. Take that and put that in your Holy Ghost pipe, devil, and smoke it. I'm anointed. Come on. Right now, let me tell you who's weak and insignificant. It's the devil. Listen, he is in the middle of hell. Come on, boiling in a pan like an old sausage. He's never going to get flipped over. Come on, somebody. He's going to burn on every side. Would help me preach up in this house. The devil is insignificant, but you are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. No. Oh. Huh? He's down there just burning, wish he could get flipped over. I said, nah, I'm going to let you burn a little bit longer. You mess with old Dr. Campbell too long. I'm going to anoint her double this time, and you're going to watch it as you burn. Come on, somebody. You're going to watch her be blessed while you burn. Oh, man, y'all ain't hear me. That's a word for somebody. Come on, the devil's going to watch you while he burns on that sizzling sausage in hell. Oh, man. Grab a hold of what I'm saying. Anybody feel like the devil just needs a good kick in the rump today? Not insignificant. You're anointed by the hand of God. You were made in the likeness of His image. You walk like Him. You talk like Him. You speak like Him. You think like Him. And no devil stands a chance because He is in you. And you are in Him. Man, that'll make a Presbyterian almost want to do a flip. It's amazing to me how we don't know who we are, all because of a lie. All because of a lie. We choose to believe the wrong truths. That's not God's fault. It's not our pastor's fault. That's our fault. And listen to me, the only way you combat it is to know this book. I know I'm old-fashioned, but I like the hard copy. I like being able to take a pen and circle words. I mean, God is a word guy. You understand? Greatness. I like words like strong. Huh? I like words like. I don't like words like despise. I like good words. How many know when you get these words, they're good words, and the devil hates good words because they're truth words, and truth words destroys every lie of the enemy. Every lie of the enemy. All right, here's the next one. All right, right here. Now, I'm getting ready to have some fun with you. We're going to check the spirit of religion this morning. Are you ready? Here's the next lie the devil will tell you. The Lord has sent me to punish you. Oh, I know we shake our heads, but we believe it. We believe it. We believe that every time we're in trouble, what's the first thing we automatically think? Boy, what I do to God to make this happen. It's true. It's true. I know it's true. Listen, this prophet right here has been in some battles. And don't think that I'm not talking out of experience. I've been in hotel rooms, nightmares, waking up all my family's, my house, nightmare to me. Well, you know, if you was really a good father, you'd be at home with your kids right now. Don't lie. Don't lie. It happens. It's a real attack. It's a real thing. It's a real threat. And the enemy, the only thing he does is can twist the truth, contort the truth. And here's what he does. In verse number 10, watch this here. He said, am I now come without the Lord against this land to destroy it? And the Lord said unto me, go up against this land to destroy it. Here he is telling Hezekiah, I'm coming to wipe you out because you did something wrong. How about let's flip that over on the contrary? Maybe the fact that you're under attack is that you might have actually done some things right. I'll take a high five from somebody in this room. Huh? I'm telling you, listen, don't think that you're getting punished. Maybe the devil's threatened by the advancement that you're making, and that's why you're under attack. You know why Sean Dickerson is under crazy attack all the time? Come on, how many know? Because he's destroying the lie of abortion, and we're taking back our land. No more shedding of innocent blood. Because he knows if he can get your family, he's got you. But how many knows our kids are already, their names are already written down. Why? Because we're calling them out in the midnight hours and God will heal our prayers. They're not in a bad way because of us. They're in a bad way because Satan hates the fact that any moment deliverance is going to come to them. Anointing is going to come to them. Blessing is going to come to them. Don't you dare let the devil tell you it's something that you did wrong. It's just an attack. It's just an attack. It's an attack on your finances. It's an attack on your mind. Hey, how about this right here? How about this right here? Let's just get real this morning. I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves. How many of you have ever paid your tithe and the next day something crazy you did not see comes out of nowhere? Blown transmission, bad water heater, all kinds of stuff. And what's the first thing the devil will tell you? Boy, if you hadn't have paid that tithe yesterday, you might be out of this mess. That 30 bucks ain't going to keep you out of a transmission problem. It's just a bad transmission. Oh, I must be punishing me now. I must have done something wrong. No, it's a bad heating element, man. Wake up. We blame all this stuff on just stuff. It's mechanical. It's going to break. God ain't got nothing to do with that. Oh, religious minds moving all in the room. I can see you thinking, was it really God or was it the devil? Come on, get real, man. We live in a real world with real problems that has nothing to do with the Lord at all. It's just mechanical. You buy a car, there's a chance it's going to break down. Why? Because some guy on the assembly line 25 years ago was a goofball and put the nut in the wrong spot. Hallelujah. Praise God. He don't get blamed. He gets blamed for too much stuff. I'm here right now to wipe you out because God's going to punish you. I mean, it's like, man, you might as well just bend over and say, God, please give me another. Huh? How many know us as kids, we've done some bonehead things. And we've deserved a spanking every now and then. But I don't like to go in there. I mean, I was always the ADD, ADA. I got bad attention problems. I got bad hyperactive problems. Horrible. I've had it since I was a kid. And I was always the kid asking dumb questions. You know, like my mom would come in and say, well, you know what? This is going to hurt me and more than you. One day I looked up and I said, well, give me the belt and let's find out. Dumb. That had nothing to do with God. That had to do with me. Let's just see then, mama. Let's just see how brilliant you are. Give me that bad boy and I'll hit you 3 times and see if you like it. Oh, it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, mama. I'd say, Bendo, give me a chance. Give me a chance to prove that statement wrong. But it ain't punishment. It's just life. Sometimes we're just under attack. And it's not because you've done anything wrong other than the fact that you're figuring out purpose. The moment you know you have a destiny in your life, he gets agitated because he can no longer lie to and manipulate and twist the truth about you and about your family and about your children and about every part of your life because everything God speaks. Listen, I love what Jeremiah 29 said. He said, the thoughts I have for you are good and they're of peace. He's not thinking. Now listen to me. There are those rebellious kids that have to get spanked every now and then. But he's not going to put cancer on you to teach you a lesson. He's going to instruct you through his word. He's going to instruct you through voices. He's going to instruct. And I love church people, but sometimes church people are just dumb. I love you, but man, sometimes we got those dumb moments. I can see it now. Pastor Joe, he's sitting across with Sister Lulu, you know. Sister Lulu comes in. She's all heartbroken. Oh, I'm telling you right now, I love me Bartholomew. Bartholomew's a handsome man. He's a good-looking man. And Pastor Joe's sitting at the desk stretching a rubber band. And she says, what are you doing? He is, you know, getting ready to give some philosophical answer, right? I'm telling you right now, this guy, he's my hero. Oh, you know, she's all messed up. And what's he do? He looks across the desk and he says, don't move in with Bartholomew. Bartholomew's going to beat you, slap you, take your money, and you're going to wish you had a different man. 2 days later, here she is with a U-Haul truck backed into Bartholomew's house, and she's moving in. And then 6 months later, when her life's in shambles, she come back to the church and says, I wish God would have told me. He did. He tried to tell you, through a voice he brought into your life. Sometimes, come on, do you understand that 80% of everything God will ever tell you will come through another human voice? Caroline comes up and tells me, now don't eat 50 cheeseburgers. You're going to have coronary disease and a heart attack. And I keep pounding them down. God's not punishing me. That's just the McRib. Hallelujah. I'm preaching way better than some of you are helping me this morning. Stop blaming God for things we're doing. This room is more Pentecostal than me. I can dance, shout, roll around the floor. I can even do back handsprings if you want me to, if I get anointed enough. And I am telling you, I have figured this out. Pentecostal people, we are the one people that depend. And listen to me, I'm a signs and wonders man. I watched God heal a lady's kidney just last Sunday morning. I mean, literally moved her whole back. I saw the whole thing. I prayed for her. I watched God move. But I am telling you this right now. We don't need more signs and wonders right now. We need some wisdom, because wisdom is the principal thing. Stop trying to seek signs and wonders and start getting God's wisdom, and signs and wonders will follow that wisdom. I believe that 90% of all miracles has nothing to do with needing God's touch at all. It was the lack of wisdom. Now, can he heal you? Yes. Can he touch our bodies? Yes. Can he touch our situations? Yes. But you've got to use some wisdom, and you've got to make sure that you're thinking. How many know if God gave you a brain, it was for a reason, right? Think. Think. I want the blessings of God. Are you a tither? Nope, it's not going to happen. I'm telling you, I'm anointed. Yet you're still before you. Let it go. Let it go. Man, get some forgiveness up in your life. There's some things you don't have to pray about. How many of you want your sins to be forgiven in this room? How many of you want all your transgressions to be forgiven? Listen to what he said after Mark 11, 23 and 24. They forget to read 25 and 26. He says, listen, guys, if you want to be forgiven, you better forgive those people that have done something against you, or I'm not going to be able to forgive you myself. Church, listen, the reason that some of us are bitter is because we're not forgiving and we want forgiveness. If you want mercy, sow some mercy. Don't believe the lies that it's a punishment. It's just bad decisions. I got a couple more. You got time for a couple more? Isaiah, the next one. Here's this. You cannot trust God's man. Watch what it says here. Let's read 14 and 15 and 16. Thus say to the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. What's the first thing he does? Don't trust right here, because it's not going to happen because he said it, because he's Hezekiah. Listen, don't ever look at a natural man's life and think that they can never be used by God. Just because you, listen, I believe this with all of my heart. I believe that too many people are hung up on flaws and not focused enough on the anointing. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Elijah and Elisha, man? They are in one of the greatest, twistiest stories in all of the Bible. One of my favorite stories ever. This guy's plowing one day. All of a sudden, he walks by. He sees something significant about this man. And all of a sudden, the anointing that's on his life begins to develop and show up in his life. And the Bible says that he washed his hands for 10 years. He served this man of God. He honored this man of God despite his flaws. Now you check out Elijah's life. Now you know Elisha had to hear about everything that he just came through. He just slaughtered 500 prophets with one match and some water. Huh? The match was God. The water was his. Serious in this house. Y'all need to just relax. Right? Watch this now. So all of a sudden, and then this guy gets afraid. And what's he do? He runs for the hills. He just saw God devour 500 prophets of Baal that are not even serving God. He slaughters and wipes them out. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. The next scene you see him in, hiding in the cave because he's scared that Jezebel's going to kill him. And you know Elisha's got to see all and hear about all of this. But he says there's something on that man that is greater than his flaws. It's the anointing of God. Huh? How many know when you follow an anointed man, I can live with his flaws. I got to have his anointing. Come on, why? Because the anointing has nothing to do with him and everything to do with God. Here he is right here. He's walking up to him and says, you don't need to trust this man of God. You don't trust him. He's going to lead you astray. And what's he saying here? That's a lie of the enemy. You can trust men of God, especially when you know the anointing of God on their lives. Guys, we've got to learn to listen to men and women. Pastor Joe tells us and instructs us with something. It's not our job to like it sometimes. It's our job to receive it. It's our job to make changes necessary to receive from what God has spoken to us through an honored vessel. And I'm telling you, the 21st century has drove me bonkers lately. I'm telling you, guys, we don't need to be sitting in the church house and say, oh, I know who he's talking about. No, he's talking to you. He's not talking to just somebody else. He's talking to all of us. I mean, heaven forbid the Holy Spirit actually know every detail about our lives. You know, and then you got Christians that got the audacity to say, well, you know, Pastor Carolyn, she knew I was sick. That's why she got up there and said that healing. I mean, heaven forbid God bring you a healing. I've never seen people that want, now think about this, guys. I understand that there's an overkill of prosperity, okay? But there's also an overkill on healing. There's an overkill on deliverance. Everybody's out of balance somewhere. Right? But listen, if we're gonna divinely argue the Bible, let's not argue the prosperity part. Let's argue the hell part. I mean, if we're gonna get mad about something, let's get mad about the hell part. Let's don't get mad about God blessing us part. I mean, if we're gonna divinely argue with things that are good to, I mean, why does anybody want to be so frustrated that God wants to be so good? I mean, listen to this scripture. Does this sound like depression to you? For he brought them out with all the silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Then you hear a preacher say that statement and say, boy, God must want you wealthy. And then all of a sudden, I guess what? If he wanted you poor, he should have left you in Egypt. Has anybody, help me, Bible scholar. But is there not a verse that says, does anybody realize that God gave them a supernatural loan they didn't have to pay back? They go borrow all the wealth of their enemies, and God brings them out, and then he devours their enemies behind them. Oh, I don't want that, Brother Sean. Don't let God bless me. No. Stay sick, stay broke, enjoy it. There's always the alternative. Hooray! I'm sick. That don't make sense to me at all. But we got Christians thinking that way. Ooh, the more poor I am, the more holier I am. How dumb thou art. I mean, good grief. God's teaching me a lesson with my children. Pastor Joe said. Pastor Joe said what? I'll tell you what Pastor Joe believes. Pastor Joe believes in a God through redemptive grace can touch every bit of your family. Can I get an amen? Come on, God, I'm going to believe because he's anointed that man to speak into my spirit. And my life begin to change because I trust in the man that God has put before me. Oh, man, that's one good clap. I should have got 50 claps. So here, I'm going to give you five things real quick, how you can destroy every lie. And I'm going to go through these quickly because some of you are yawning in the spirit. Here's the first thing you do when Satan talks to you. You answer him not a word. You don't even give him a thought. You speak the word. But you don't answer him. You don't talk to him. Huh? He's the dirt on the bottom of my feet. Huh? Listen, you understand, he's not worth an answer. And I'm telling you, man, we've got this big monstrous devil. You know, do you understand? He's nothing. He's already been defeated. The only thing he can do is lie to you, and it only gets worse when you start believing the lies and talking to. Listen, don't answer him a word, just speak the word. No. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. There is no weapon formed against me that will ever prosper, and any tongue that rises up against me, including yours, God said he would condemn. Huh? Listen, you might be making some gallows for me right now, but just like Mordecai, just like you made them for Mordecai, God is going to hang you on them instead, devil. Don't you dare even think that I'm going to even answer you and give you one more thought, because God is on my side, and if God be for me, then who can be against me? You speak the word. You don't talk to him. You don't argue with him. You don't negotiate. You have authority in Jesus' name. I said, 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 you have authority in Jesus' name. You have authority in Jesus' name. You have authority in Jesus' name. Here's the second thing you do. You send to the man of God. Man, if there's anything I found out, man, get power in numbers. Pastor Joe, I'm having a struggle. Send for him. Get a hold of him. Get a hold of his wife. But listen, we have more technology on than any other people on the planet. Huh? And all you got to do is send a Facebook message. You don't have to go into detail. Pastor Joe, I'm just really in need of your prayers right now. But why is it that we always go to them last? When God put them in our lives first. Run to the men and women of God that God has placed in your life. Run to those mothers. Run to those fathers. One of the things that I think that we're not under, and listen, and I say this with humility this morning. I think one of the gravest things that we have ever created in this generation is that fatherless atmosphere. And how many know we need some fathers and mothers in the faith? We need those men and women that we can grab a hold of, that can help us grab a hold of the horn of the altar. Man, I'm telling you, listen, I love this about Sister Carolyn. Man, I've taken my kids to her for years, and I'll never forget it. It's not her last thing. It's her first thing before she checks anything. Well, let's pray. Let's pray right now. She grabs our hands. Come on, how many of us, those mothers, come on, send for the man and woman of God. She prays over our children, and I believe, come on, that he guides her and directs her and speaks to her. Come on, don't make that be your last resort. Make that be your first resort. Get a hold of a man or woman of God, not even preachers, men and women of God. There are many of you that need to be fathers and mothers in the faith. Let the younger generation, come on, reach out to you, and when they do, don't shut them down, but impart unto them. Come on, bless them, speak into them, speak the word into them. Why? Because they're going to need every word that God gives you to speak to them in this generation. We need to send for the men and women of God of our faith. Ready for this? Don't be afraid of the words you hear. I'm trying to hurry. Don't be afraid of the words you hear. When Satan speaks, it's a lie. When Satan speaks, it's not even truth. Come on, how many know you can't? You don't even compromise. Don't even listen to one thing he says. Here's the next thing I want to give you. This is real powerful. Rehearse your threats to God. He tells you something. Hey, God, he's saying this about me. You need to know this right now. You need to know what he's saying. And God, you need to give me, and I'm going to tell you right now, how many know God will deal with him? How many know God will deal with him? The last one I want to give you is this. Make it about God's honor. Make it about God's honor. One of the things that I believe this culture has lost is its ability to honor. And I believe that the person that needs to be honored the most is our God. Honor him in your families. Honor him in his word. Not just reading it, doing it. Honor him in your prayer time. Honor him in your worship time. And honor him when we gather as saints of God to get in one mind and in one accord. Honor him on every level of your life. Because the moment you do, is the moment. I love what it says in the book of Samuel. He who honors me, I will heap honor back upon them. Season of our lives, you don't be afraid of the devil, but you honor God, and God will handle your enemies. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Don't believe one lie the devil tells you. Don't believe one lie. Believe God's truth. Believe God's truth. I'm so honored and privileged to speak here today. And I think Sister Carolyn wanted to pray for the sick. And as Sean comes and begins to play, I feel like we should follow that. But I also just want to pray over your mind this morning before I turn this back over to them. How many know that the mind is where the lies begin? And also, how many know your mind is where the truth begins? And so I want to encourage you that you have a strong mind. I think we undervalue that sometimes. Don't you think, Pastor Joe? The ability of your mind. Amen? Amen. Stretch your hands toward heaven this morning. I pray over every person here this morning. And God, I pray for their minds, for their ability to believe, to trust in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that, God, they would believe every truth that you speak.
and they would not believe any lie of the enemy. Let your word become so real and so alive to them that, God, it speaks life the moment we hear it. And we give you thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. I'm going to turn this back over to pastors. Bless them in Jesus' name.